Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
I heard this story one time, 81-year-old man, and he's on the last cruise of his life, so he thinks, and he's standing up there enjoying the sunshine, and they're out sailing, and he looks over by the railing. There's this beautiful 22-year-old blonde in a bikini, and all of a sudden, a wave hits the ship, and the ship lists. The woman gets knocked overboard. Everybody goes running over to the rail to see what happened to her. You know, what happened? All of a sudden, next thing you know, this 81-year-old man is in the water. And he swims over, grabs the girl, brings her over to the ladder. They all go, by now, everybody's watching this. They all go up the ladder and everything. And, the water was really cold. And they get up on deck and they throw blankets over him. And everybody's amazed. And they were clapping for the guy that, he saved this woman. And they brought him up to the microphone and they go, speech, why did you do it? You went in there and you saved that woman and you brought her up. You're 81 years old. Speech, tell us why you did it. He gets up to the microphone. He goes, all right, who pushed me? And what I'd like to say is that the Spirit is the one who pushes us. Or if you will, the sacred shove that keeps us going forward. So let me talk a little bit more about passion, then I'll get into some stories. Passion is direction. Propellers propel you a certain way. And I like to tell people that, the Pentecost vision was this. Your young people will dream dreams, and your old people will see visions. And I want to tell you that you're never too young to have a dream. And you're never too old to have a vision. And what you got to do is let the Spirit guide you, lead you, direct you. I wrote down some words. We're talking about what passion is. Besides energy and enthusiasm, it's dreams, it's visions, it's accomplishing, it's achieving, it's creativity, goals, reaching, realizing your potential, becoming the best you can be. Because, well, let's go back to the flesh. If you're in the flesh, you're not going to want to do anything. You're lazy. Who cares? But if you're in the Spirit, you want to become. You are motivated. You are propelled. You want to become the best person that you can possibly be. I'm talking about in holiness and achieving in your life. And I have a saying I told you, I think, once or twice already during the course of this retreat. Who you are is God's gift to you. But who you become is your gift to God. Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. And I don't know about you, I want to become, and I am becoming. And it's a journey, and it's about growing, and that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit propels you. Okay, well, let's get into a few stories. That's kind of the foundation. We're talking about passion, we're talking about fire. You have the Spirit. The Spirit has come to give us energy, power, propel us, move us on to live with enthusiasm, our call, our vocation, and to be the best that we can be. I heard about a movie that came out this year. It's called The Bucket List. And I don't know, maybe a few of you saw it. It was co-stars Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. I didn't actually see the movie, but I saw the trailer online on the internet. Interesting movie line or storyline. It's about two men that didn't even know each other. And what happened was they both developed cancer, and they both meet in the hospital, the cancer ward, and they're both told that they have less than a year to live. So the both of them talk, they've got a death sentence, and they both start talking, and they decide to develop what they call a list of things that they want to do before they kick the bucket, thus the term the bucket list. And on their list, they had some interesting things, things that you would probably imagine that people would want to do if they're going to die. For example, go parachuting, and that's what they did. They drove a race car. they went on a safari, you know, those type things. Things that you never do, but you got to do before you die, okay? But they had some interesting things in that bucket list, and things you wouldn't necessarily think. One of them was that they wanted to laugh until they cried. And that happened in the movie. Then one of them was they wanted to kiss the most beautiful girl on earth. And then another one was that they would help a complete stranger for the common good. What's interesting, in Spanish, the name of the movie, well, the name of the movie is called The Bucket List, but in Spanish, the name of the movie is called Now or Never. And I think that's a word for all of us. I mean, when it comes to doing things in life, it's now or never. Don't put it off. And I was thinking, you know, I haven't seen the movie yet, but what would be on my bucket list if I knew that I had less than a year to live? What would be number one on your bucket list if you knew that? Would you parachute? Would you be a race car driver? Would you eat things that you don't normally eat? What would you do? Well, think about that for a minute. Let me go on. I'll tell you what my bucket list would be. The number one thing on my bucket list, I'll tell you in just a little bit. But I wanted to tell you, first of all, about one of the craziest things I ever did, and it wasn't parachuting, and it wasn't driving a race car. When I was in the seminary, just to let you know, between the third and the fourth year, you know, it takes 4 years, and then you graduate, and you get ordained. Between your third and fourth year, they had the curriculum was supposed to have us studying Spanish. And, you know, I studied Spanish in high school, and I studied it after my first year in the seminary. And I knew that I was going to be a missionary. That was my call. And I knew that I was going to be traveling around preaching. So I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm going to be preaching in English. I really don't need to know a whole lot of Spanish. So what I did is I found out about this program at Northwestern University. You see, I studied in Chicago. And I knew at Northwestern University, they have probably the best drama school in the country. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be up there, and I'm kind of shy and introverted and everything. I need to take some speech. I need to take some acting. I need some of that, you know, charm, that culture that they have. So I convinced my formation director to allow me to go to Northwestern University and study acting. I don't want you to think everything I'm doing is acting, but it's not. But so I went there, and get this, I'm a seminarian in there with all these people that are studying acting. You know what those acting types are like. You know, they're different, let me just put it that way. And they're kind of like musicians. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, let's just say that the fine art people are just a little different. So I was in there, and here's what I studied. I studied acting. I studied training the actor's voice, about pronunciation. Some of you have said that you really like my voice. Thank you. But I've worked on that. I've really tried to enunciate and you know, those type things. The other class that I took was called storytelling. You know, the key to preaching is storytelling. It really is. You've all heard it before. I'm just trying to inspire you by my life and by my stories. So those are three things I took: acting, training the actor's voice, storytelling, and here's the fourth thing that I took, and I can't believe I even did it. You know, there's many things that you can choose. It was a course called dance. Don't laugh at me. And the reason why I took a dance course, and it wasn't dance like the jitterbug or the waltz or the foxtrot or anything like that. It was called impromptu dance. It was a course where you actually just get out there on the floor in front of people and you make up your own dance. It's called impromptu. It was a whole course. You get credits for it. And I did it. And the reason why I did it, and get this, it was me and 20 women. Talk about lucky old me going to the seminary, right? Well, no, we're talking about passion, right? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so I took this course, and the reason why I took it is this, because all my life, I've been so self-conscious. And really, when it came to dance especially, now, I'm athletic, I love golf, baseball, tennis, you know, all the sports. I love it, I'm good, pretty good at it. But for some reason, dance, nobody ever taught me how to dance. Whenever we go to a dance, I would be like a wallflower. I'd sit there, and all my friends would be out dancing, and everybody would be out dancing. I'd be afraid to ask any girls because I didn't want them to see, you know, two left feet, you know, and just, I felt like everybody, if I were to get up, I felt like everybody in the room was like, let's watch this, you know? And I was a wallflower. So I never really danced. I was just afraid to. I was self-conscious. It was hard for me. So I said, okay, if I'm going to do this, and I knew that eventually down the line I'd be standing up in front of people, I better get some movement ability. I better feel more comfortable in front of people. So I knew instinctively I needed to do something. So I took that course on dance. And it was so weird. It was so hard for me to get up there with all those women. And they would judge you on your movement, your ability to lead, and your ability to dance with others. Because we would be in the room, sometime we'd all dance together, you know, and somebody would take the lead, and I'd be going, should I take the lead, should I take the lead? And I wouldn't. I'd be afraid, my heart's beating real fast, because I was afraid everybody, I was so self-conscious. Well, anyway, let me tell you this. I did it. I danced. Felt weird, felt strange, I felt self-conscious. But I threw myself into it, and I did it, because I'll tell you what, I was not made to be a wallflower. I was not made to be a spectator, and neither were you. We're made to be participators. We're made to be in the dance. We're made to risk, to dare, to try. As Jesus said, launch out into the deep for a catch. See, that's passion. You don't just sit there. You get involved. You live your life. You know, now's the time to seize the moment. And I was so afraid and so self-conscious about what everybody thought of me. What about what I think of me? What about what God thinks of me? What about my potential? What about what I could become? And I knew I had to push myself. Actually, it wasn't me pushing me. It was the Spirit pushing me. Because I was so chicken, I didn't want to do anything. And I have to tell you that, you know what, I'm still self-conscious at times, but I'm going, I'm moving, I'm trying, I'm daring, I'm risking. And that's part of a passionate life. You don't just watch, you do, because you're gifted, you're anointed. So let me continue here. So anyway, I did that. That was one of the craziest things I've ever done in my life. And see, I want to tell you that for me, to dance is daring to get up here tonight in front of you. For me to dance, when I'd rather be in my room alone just praying, for me to dance is writing a book, and I've written 12 of them, when I'd rather be out golfing. For me, because it's hard writing a book. They don't just get written like that. It takes almost a year to write a book. For me to dance is producing and creating and getting involved in a TV program when I'd rather sit there and watch a TV program. You know, it means throwing yourself into your life. It means living your vocation. It means not just sitting there, but really, really getting involved. And so I want to challenge you not to just sit there, but to get involved. You know what they have out now? Something that's on TV. It was on last night. Hopefully you didn't see it, because hopefully you were right here last night. But it's the show called Dancing with the Stars, and it's become one of the hit shows in America, because whether you're a wallflower or a dancer, people love to watch it. It's fun, you know, how are they gonna do? You know, show me some new moves. Look at what they look like. I wish I could do that. You know, it's that whole thing of dancing. And I think dance is something very beautiful, and it's something very important. I heard a song on the radio I just wanna share with you. It was one of my favorite songs when it came out a couple years ago. It was by Leanne Womack. Maybe you're a fan of hers, I don't know. She's kind of a country western singer. And she has a song called I Hope You Dance. And let me just share the lyrics with you. I won't sing them, but listen to this. I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance. Never settle for the path of least resistance. Living might mean taking chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some hell-bent heart leave you bitter. When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the chance and the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. And I want to tell you again, risk, dare, dance. It's what you're made for. And remember what I said, You're never too old to dream a dream, and you're never too young to see a vision. And really, that's what passion's all about. Let me tell you about this man that I met this year. Interesting man. I was playing golf, and a friend of mine said he wanted to take me to this real swank course. It's called the Houstonian. It's a very wealthy, very nice course. And he wanted to introduce me to the pro there, the golf pro. And so I met the man. He's 40 years old, married, two little girls, very good looking, very personable. And interesting thing is, he's Catholic, and not only is he Catholic, I understood as we talked, he said he has a great interest in becoming a deacon, a permanent deacon. And he goes to church there in Houston. So as we talk more and more, I offered to be his spiritual director, and he wanted me to be his spiritual director. So we have a great symbiotic relationship. I'm his spiritual director, and he teaches me golf. It's real fun, because you know how I love golf. Well, anyway, we have a great relationship, and as we sat down, this just started 2 months ago. I've only met with him a couple times. And, you know, we talk about prayer. I'm his spiritual director, and, you know, trying to help him as he makes the step toward diaconate. He's going to start classes next month and different things. It's a process. So anyway, the first question I asked him when we sat down is, I said, why do you want to be a deacon? What's motivating you? And this is what he said. He said, Father, I want to make a difference. Now here's a man who's married. He's raising two little girls, making good money. He's a golf pro. He's got a coveted position, head golf pro at this swank course. And he says, I want to make a difference. And I thought that was so right on. I thought that was so, talk about passions, talk about beauty. Yesterday, we were walking over by the lighthouse. You know, we went over to the lighthouse to take a look, and we took some pictures. I'm going to put it on my website real soon. I think that's such a beautiful place. And as we were walking, we noticed that there were some starfish that had washed ashore. You have big starfish here in Oregon, by the way, not like the little ones in Florida. Well, anyway, it reminded me of a story, and it was a story about this woman. She's walking on the beach, and as she's walking on the beach, she sees all these starfish. You know, the tide had brought in the starfish, and the beach was littered with them. They were everywhere, and the problem was that the tide had gone out, and now these starfish were just kind of stuck there, and the hot sun was burning them and killing them. They were just dying on the beach. So the woman, she was standing there, and she was taking them one by one and throwing them into the surf. I call her the star thrower. And she was throwing them in, saving them, you know, getting them back into the water. So here she is, you know, they're taking them one by one. She'd bend over, pick them up, throw them in. You know, that one's good. Then she'd pick up another one, throw them in. And here's this guy. And isn't there always like a negative voice in your life? Well, here's this guy. He comes walking up and he says, what are you doing? And she said, she picks one up, throws them in. I'm saving the starfish. And he looks up and down the beach, and the beach is littered with thousands of them. He goes, you don't think you can make a difference, do you? And she didn't even say a word to him. She just bent over, picked up one starfish, threw him in, looked at the guy and said, I made a difference to that one. And, you know, you don't have to save the world, folks. Just get involved and live with passion and make a difference in your family. You know, a lot of teachers wear that little starfish on their lapel. They've heard that story, because I think teachers make a difference. I think nurses make a difference. I think doctors make a difference. Priests, parents make a difference. And that's the key, folks. And now what's my bucket list? What's the number one thing on my bucket list? I want to make a difference. That's why I risked becoming a priest. That's why I joined religious life when I don't necessarily like every guy that I live with. That's why I risked preaching when I had panic attacks and I was so self-conscious and I was afraid when everybody was going to look at me. Because I really, and this, see, talk about a propeller. That's the spirit. I wouldn't have ever done anything like this. I'm too chicken. I'm too afraid. You know, and everybody's got fears. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. He says, look, Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice. He gave us a spirit of power and love and self-control. Talked about that last night. So, what's on your bucket list? Really pray about that. Think about that. Passion is what it's all about. And I want to tell you that passion is fire and energy and enthusiasm, determination, as you heard. And when you have the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you'll dance. Remember what the name of that movie was. It's now or never. Don't wait for tomorrow. Because when you think about it, we're all on the bucket list. I mean, we all have that destiny, that date that's coming up. So let me end real quickly. Thanks for listening so well, and thanks for you who are listening by CD. And I just want to tell you that, as I said, passion is it's fire, it's energy, it's determination, but it's also accomplishing. It's realizing your potential. It's getting involved. It's daring. It's risking, and it's growing. And Jesus came to bring us the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, you got to stir it up. That's your responsibility. I'm trying to help you as a Catholic priest. I'm trying to inspire you. I'm trying to stir it up. That's what we've been about all this mission. So I've talked about love, and I've talked about prayer. I've talked about happiness, and I've talked about the Spirit of God in you. But you got to take that now. And I know that you're a wonderful community. Many of you are involved. You're very prayerful. But you can't let the fire die out. You have to keep stirring it up. That's your responsibility. Nobody's really going to do it for you unless, you know, somebody like me or whatever comes and tries to stir you up. But it's really your responsibility. And as you do that, I believe that you will live a life uncommon, full of grace, full of God's blessing and help. And so let me end by saying this. I have a TV program, as I've said before. It's airing in many different cities. And I call it Live with Passion, because I have found out that a lot of people in their life, they get married, you know, and they have the best of intentions when they get married. They're really, the feelings are there. They're in love and everything. And then the passion dies out. And you can't let that happen, no matter your vocation, whether you're a nun, whether you're a priest, whether you're married. You have to live with passion. And so here's what I tell people on the program. Don't just live. This is how I end every program. I say, don't just live. Live with passion. And may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, well, thanks for listening, and I'm so glad you came to the mission. And I'm praying, let me just pray for you right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will be inflamed in us, that you will burn in our hearts, that like Paul, we will be impelled and compelled and propelled to go forward in our life, that we will have a new daring, a new risking. We won't be just self-conscious about what everybody's thinking of us, and that we will be bold and courageous for the gospel. May the people here who have heard this message and those listening be people who impact others, who make a difference, and who are filled with fire and love. And may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've reached the end of this teaching.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.